today's shiur Masech Becheres Daf Hey, and we will begin on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom Toshma. In our previous shiur, we had learned a machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish regarding when Kedushas Bechor began in Klal Yisrael. And we were up to is that both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish agree that in Mitzrayim the Bechorim had that Kedusha. They both certainly agree that when we came to Yisrael, when we arrived in Yisrael, the Bechorim had that Kedusha. The Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, at least at this point in the Gemara's understanding, is regarding the Bechorim, and of course this then applies both to the Bechorei Adam, the people, and the Bechorei Behema, was regarding the Bechorim that were born in the Midbar. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that even those Bechorim had Kedushas Bechor, but Rish Lakish's opinion is that they did not have Kedushas Bechor. So the Gemara attempts to prove that Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is correct from the following braisa. The braisa says, Toshma, Nimtzas at the oyma b'shloish mekaymif kachu b'chayrus l'Yisrael. There are 3 different places the b'chayrim get kedusha. B'mitzrayim, b'midbar, or b'tziyasan l'aretz. B'kinyasasan l'aretz. In Mitzrayim and the Midbar when they arrived in Yisrael. Mitzrayim Weimer, what does it say regarding Mitzrayim? The Pasuk says, Kaddish li ka b'char. The Midbar Weimer, in the Midbar it says, Kili ka b'char v'bnei Yisrael. I actually saw that the Mepharshim asked that the rule is that wherever the Torah uses the word Kili, that something is Hashem's, it means it's Hashem's forever. Yet we know that the Kedusha of the Bechor isn't forever. As we discussed in our previous year, the Avodah was originally with the Bechorim, and ultimately that Avodah left the Bechorim and went to the Kohanim. So how does the Torah use the word Li? So the Pashto Pshat is that even though the Bechorim, of course, unfortunately, no longer do the Avodah, but the Bechorim still have a Kedusha. Certainly that's the subject of our Masechta, that they have this Kedushas Bechorim that they have to have pinyon. Another Pshat is, as the Medrash says, that although currently the Avodah is not with the Bechorim, the Avodah has been transferred to the Kohanim, the Medrash says that when Mashiach comes, it will go back to the Bechorim. And that's why the word Li, which represents permanence, is indeed in place. So we see from here that clearly the Bechorim had this Kedusha in all 3 places, including the Midbar. Unlike what Rish Lakish says, Omer Rav Nachman Yitzchak, so Rav Nachman Yitzchak defends Rish Lakish. B'shloish mekaymus huzra al b'chayrus l'kadosh. There were 3 times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us about the Kedusha b'chayra. V'loikatsho, but it doesn't mean that necessarily that in all 3 of those places did they obtain the Kedushas b'char. So the Gemara assumes now that the Torah taught us the halacha of Kedushas b'char in 3 different places, but the actual Kedusha only happened in Eretz Yisrael. Does that mean that Rish Lakish holds, asked the Gemara, or Mitzrayim normally like Kaddish, that the Bechorim born in Mitzrayim did not have a Kedusha? Karminin, haven't we said in our previous year, and as we said in our introductory remarks, that even Rish Lakish, the Gemara understands, agrees that the Bechorim born in Mitzrayim had Kedusha? Answers the Gemara. Hachkam, this is the way to understand the Brice according to Rish Lakish. Mehen kachu, mehen loy kachu. There were 3 times the Torah taught us about Bechorim. Mitzrayim, Midbar, and Eretz Yisrael. Some of the times, it doesn't only represent a lesson, but it actually represents that they got Kedushas Bechor. In Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael, in one time, it only represents a lesson, but not actually that they received the Kedushas Bechor that's in the Midbar. Maskul or Rapapa asks Rapapa on Rish Lakish's opinion, is this true? Ube Midbar loy kachu. that the Bechayrim did not get Kedusha in the Midbar, Fiksiv, doesn't it say in the Pasuk, Bechay ka Bechor Zohar al Bnei Yisrael? So clearly the Pasuk teaching us that all of the Bechayrim in Eretz Yisrael have Kedusha. And as the Chazon Ish points out, the Gemara is only asking this question, the Reb Hop is asking this question. Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, it seems, wasn't troubled with this question. Why was Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak not troubled with this question? Because Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak perhaps will hold that Reish Lakish differentiates between Bechor Adam, which maybe did take place in the Midbar, and Bechor Behemah. But Reb Hop is saying that we've been learning that the two types of Bechor travel together. And Reish Lakish says that in the Midbar they didn't have Kedusha. Here it clearly seems to say that they did have Kedusha. So now the Gemara further qualifies, therefore, Reish Lakish's opinion. Eliyet Mahoch Yitma. Rav Yochanan Amar Kachaloi Pasku. Rav Yochanan's opinion is that the Kedusha's Bechor began in Mitzrayim and it remained forever. Reish Lakish Amar Kachu. It began in Mitzrayim Upasku and it stopped. But till now, we've been learning that it stopped as soon as they got to the Midbar. Now the Gemara is further qualifying Reish Lakish's opinion and is saying that the Bechayim that were born when they got to the Midbar until the census that is referred to in this pasuk were taken did not also have Kedushas Bechor. And then from after that census until they arrived in Yisrael, there was no longer any Kedushas Bechor. And then, as Reish Lakish says, once they arrived in Yisrael, Kedushas Bechor resumed. That's what Rashi understands. There are other Rishayim that seem to say that it's not that the Bechorim that were born in the Midbar until the census all had Kedushas Bechor. Rather, they're going to understand that according to Reish Lakish, they were sort of in a new category. They didn't have full-fledged Kedushas Bechor, because they weren't born in Mitzrayim and Yisrael, but they, on the other hand, did not have Kedushas Bechor, they were included in the census. Now that we have this teretz, that Reish Lakish agrees that the Bechorim that were born in the Midbar at the beginning, Reish Lakish agrees, had Kedushas Bechor. So now a lot of the questions that have been asked in the previous year on Reish Lakish's opinion could all be answered, because he agrees that at least those Bechorim that were born when they got to the Midbar had Kedushas Bechor. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says that the reason he holds that the Bechorim born in the Midbar did not have Kedushas Bechor, because the Torah says, V'haya Kaviyacha, which means only when we arrive in Eretz Yisrael will they have Kedushas Bechor. El Rabbi Yochanan, who says that they already had the Kedushas Bechor when they were born in the Midbar, my Tama, how will he explain the Psukim? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yochanan Chazoy Libichalma. Rabbi Elazar was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, and he was coming to defend and explain the opinion of his Rebbe, Reb Yochanan, and to show him that he was explaining his opinion correctly, Reb Yochanan appeared to Reb Elazar in a dream, the Milsa Ma'al Yisamina, because to show him that what he was saying was something that was very correct. Amakra, Reb Yochanan's opinion is that the Bechorim Kedusha remains permanent, because the Pasuk says, Li Yiyu, Bavi Yosin Yehei. They retain that Kedusha. And that's the Raya, that Kedusha started in the Midbar and remained forever. Ask the Gemara, however, Rav Yochanan, V'hoye Kviyacha V'evarta May Avadli. The Pasuk does seem to indicate V'hoye Kviyacha, that only when we get that Tzisrael does the Kedusha's Bechari begin, not earlier. Answers the Gemara, Ahumi Ba'alei L'chiratani D'Beir Rishmol. He says that Pasuk has come to teach us what the Beir Rishmol taught us. Taught us that the Pasuk is saying, Asay mitzvah zu shebishvili tikanas laretz. Do the mitzvah b'chayra, because in tzchus that you will perform this mitzvah, you will be worthy of entering into Yisrael. So Mefarshim asked, why specifically does the mitzvah b'chayra bring with it this tzchus, that because of it we enter into Yisrael? So the Farshim explained, we also know that the Gemara says that because Klal Yisrael didn't fulfill the mitzvah Shemitah, they went into Golos. Os Tirtza Aretz Eshef Seisel. That all the years that they didn't properly follow Shemitah, that's the amount of years they went into Golos. And the same question comes up. Why is Shemitah such the Aveira that specifically because of it we went into Golos? The answer the Mefarshim give is because Shemitah represents that a Jew recognizes Kili Kol Aretz, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the owner of the world. What we have is really nothing. Everything we have is really from Hashem. So since everything that we have is from Hashem, when a person doesn't follow Shemitah, he's actually saying that he doesn't believe that. The same thing is Bechor. As we said in our introductory remarks to this Masechta, the mitzvah Bechor indicates that we recognize that everything that we have from Hashem. And if a person does, so if a person recognizes it, that's when he deserves to be an Etz Yisrael, a person who lives without a Muna. And a person who doesn't live that without a Muna, he doesn't learn the lesson of Eretz Yisrael, then he doesn't deserve to have Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Amleir Matchul Ravashi, Atan Hochem Es Nisimah. This is your version of the Machloikis of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Anon, however, I, Ipchem Es Nisimah, I had the same Machloikis, but with reversed opinions. Rav Yochanan, according to my opinion, the way I learned it, Rav Yochanan's opinion was the Lekach Bechoris Bechor, that the Bechorim born in the Midbar did not have Kedushas Bechor until, and only until they arrived in Eretz Yisrael did they get that Kedushas Bechor. Rish Lakish, and Rish Lakish's opinion is Kach Bechoris Bechor, the Bechorim born in the Midbar had Kedusha. Amalei, Vafchich Tsunami Tiyufta. So he says, all the questions that we've had in the last Shiurim on Rish Lakish's opinion can also now be reversed. Vafchir Sulahadra Belazar, will you also, but how can you reverse what we just learned a moment ago that he said that he saw, that Rabbi Elazar said he saw his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, in a dream telling him that you're explaining you're on the right track. That applies with Rabbi Elazar and his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, for Rabbi Elazar was indeed a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. But it doesn't work when we speak about Rabbi Elazar and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Elazar wasn't a Talmud of Reish Lakish. How will we understand that dream if that's the way, if this is the way we're now going to understand this Machlokes? Amalei. So that's why he sort of changes what he said. He says, not that I'm changing their opinion. What I'm saying is that Rabbi Yochanan says, Lekotshu, Lehutshuch HaLekadosh. The Bechayrim that were born in the Midbar did not need a specific kedusha, did not have to be specific designated. They're automatically Bechayrim at birth. And that applied even to the Bechayrim born in the Midbar. So ask the Gemara, so what he's saying is that the Bechayrim born in the Midbar have kedusha. In fact, they have automatic kedusha. So ask the Gemara, Hachahana Didon. So what's this anything different than what we've been learning till now in expressing Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that the Bechayrim born in the Midbar had the Kedusha? Answers the Gemara, there is no halachic nafkamina. The entire nafkamina is Kamashwan the Chayiv Adam Lamin Beloshin Rabbi. He expressed Rabbi Yochanan's opinion somewhat differently. It wasn't different in halacha lemaisa. It was just changed in the way it was expressed, and you're supposed to repeat it the way you heard it from your Rebbe. Although I did see that the Mefarshim asked that maybe that there is a nafkamina. And the question is that do Bechayrim, we're going to discuss later in the Masechta, is there a requirement to specifically be Makadosh a Bechar, or a Bechar has Kedusha automatically? So the Mefarshim say that issue, if a Bechar has to be designated or not, has nothing to do with what we're discussing now. And it could be that even if you hold that a Bechar, as the Gemara says now, has that kedusha, it doesn't change what we're learning now, that it doesn't change the reality that it may require designation, verbal designation. The Mefarshim also go into great length in discussing why is there a rule of Chayiv Adam Loimar B'Loshon Rabbi. Actually, they say that this halacha, the Chayiv Adam Loimar B'Loshon Rabbi, is alluded to in the Pirkei Avos. Because it says in Pirkei Avos, have a shoysa b'tsoma es devrayim. Drink their words. And here too the question comes up, why does it say specifically drink their words? Why doesn't it say eat what they say? So the Mefarshim explained, and we're actually going to speak about this concept in coming shiurim. There's a difference between what somebody eats and what somebody drinks. What somebody eats gets digested in the body. What somebody drinks could pass right through the body. And that's why it says, have a shoysa, drink their words. It should pass through and it shouldn't change. It should be repeated exactly as you heard. But now the question is, why is it so important to learn and repeat what you learn exactly as the Rebbe said it? So the simple shot is because the way the Rebbe expressed it, the nuances and the words that he said make a difference in halacha. Because the fact that he said it one way versus another way, and every word he said, there must be a reason he said it this way, not another way. Another shot that I saw is that it serves as a memory aid. If you repeat what you learned the exact way that you heard it, it'll be easier for you to constantly remember what you have learned. And another pshat is, because this shows respect, the proper covenant and the derecherets that one should show to his Rebbe, that he's so careful to repeat what he learned exactly in the same way that he heard it from his Rebbe. In fact, I saw that there are those that say that not only should one repeat the way something that he learned from his Rebbe exactly as he heard it from his Rebbe, but it goes even further that he should say it with the same niggin and with the exact same way that he heard his Rebbe teach him what he learned. Continues the Gemara. We spoke in the previous year about the Levim were the ones that redeemed the Bechayrim in the Midbar. So says the Gemara, Shal contrasts the Sasar as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Protein Shal Levim at the Maitzim Esrim Shnaim Ela V'Shloish Meos. If we total together the count of the different families of the Levim in the Midbar, we will find that there were 22,300 Levim, 7,500 from Gershon, 8,600 from Kahath, and 6,200 from Merari, equal 22,300. However, when we find that the Torah mentions how many Levim there were, B'chlalim at the Maitza Eser V'Shnayim Elav, we find the Torah only lists that there were 22,000. So we asked them, Shloish Meyos Lehechen Halchu. What happened to that difference, those extra 300? Amar Loi, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai responded, Oisin Shloish Meyos Bechayrus Hayu. Those 300 Levim were Levim who were Bechayrim themselves, Vein Bechar Mafki Bechar. A Levi who is a Bechar cannot be the Levi that redeems these struggles Bechar. Ask the Gemara, my Tama. If a Levi has the ability to redeem a Yisrael who's a Bechar, what's the difference if that Levi is a Bechar or not? Amr Abai responded Abaya, Dai le Bechar shiyafki kedushas atzmai. As the Mefarshim explained, certainly every Levi has the ability to redeem a Yisrael who's a Bechar. However, if the Levi has to redeem himself, then he's busy or he's needed to redeem himself and he's not available to redeem the Yisrael who's a Bechar. And that's why, since those 300 Levim who were Bechayrim had to redeem themselves, so to say, they weren't available to redeem the Yisraelim who were Bechayrim, and that's why, even though there were a total of 22,300 Levim, when we actually come to the count of Levim who were able to redeem Yisraelim, we only have 22,000 Levim available. A word of introduction to our next piece of Gemara. The times of the Gemara, and the times obviously when they collected for the Mishkan, coins had a value. A gold coin, a silver coin, represented a certain amount of gold or a certain amount of silver. And when we try to think about the measurements of currency, of coins that they had in that time, we find the following. A kikar is made up of 60 mana. A mana is made up of 25 shkolim. And a shekel is made up of 4 dinar. Which is now why you understand, well, whenever we speak about a mana, we speak about the number 100, because 25 times 4 equal 100. We also understand now that a kikar has in it 1,500 shkolim, because 60 mana times 25 shekel equal 1,500. So now, says the Gemara, void shalom. If you ask another question, begibi kesef, when we find when the Torah speaks about the money that Moshe Rabbeinu collected for the machzis shekel, we find that there was ma'asayim v'achas kikar v'achas asrimona, 201 kikar and 11 mana. That's how much they should have had. Why? Because we know there were 603,550 men contributing a machzis shekel. If we convert that into a whole shekel, that's 301,775 shekel. If we say that each kikar has in it, as we just said, 1,500 shekelim, 60 times 25, that means there are 201 kikar with a remainder of 275 shekelim, and if each mana is 25 shekel, there are 11 mana. So that means, if we know the count of how many people contributed a machzis shekel, we know there should have been a total of 201 kikar and 11 mana of shekelim. Because the pasuk says, everybody contributed a machzis shekel. However, but when we find that when the Torah speaks about how much money they actually had, the Torah says there was only mas kikar, 100 kikar. As the pasuk says, there was only 100 kikar. So he challenged him. Was Moshe Rabbeinu ganef? And there's two pshatim in kuvyostis. One pshat is that a kuvyostis is a goyin of nefashis. He's a kidnapper. But nefashim asks, what does kidnapping have to do with him perhaps having stolen this money? So nefashim therefore respond that the reason Mark considers him a kidnapper is that we know that the machzis hashekel was what brought a kapara to the nefashis of Klal Yisrael. And the challenge here is, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was a guy in the fascists, he's taking away from them their opportunity to have the kapara that is brought through the machzis hashekel. Another pshat that he saw is that perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu was a guy in the fascists, that he hid Levim, because he hid Yisraelim, in order that he shouldn't have to show where all those machzis hashekel were. Or another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara is going back to the previous piece of Gemara. That in the previous piece of Gemara, the Gemara asked that it seems that there are 300 Levim missing. So now the Gemara asks, did Moshe Rabbeinu perhaps kidnap those 300 Levim? That's one pshat. The other pshat that they give in Kuvyostis is that it's a gambler. And here too, the Mepharshim try to understand, what does gambling have to do with what we're discussing in this year? That if we are, that the Gemara Kasha Shalom is accusing Moshe Rabbeinu of being a ganav. So I saw a very beautiful word from Rabbi Baruch Tam. Rabbi Baruch Tam asks, he says, we know that the halacha is that a gambler is a possible eved. He's not considered a kosher eved. And the question is, somebody that gambles, of course we're not condoning gambling, but somebody who goes to gamble, he isn't stealing, he's gambling, he knows what he's doing. So why is he possible? The answer is, there's a concept in halacha of asmachta. And asmachta means that when I go to a store to buy something, so I know that I'm paying and I'm receiving what I paid for. But when I gamble, I'm gambling under the assumption that I'm going to actually win this gamble. And if I would have known I'm going to lose the gamble, I would have never gambled. And when I lose it, I never meant that wasn't my intention, and therefore it isn't considered a proper kinyan. So he explains what happened here was as follows. He was accusing Moshe Rabbeinu that Moshe Rabbeinu had the following deal going, so to speak. That they're going to collect from Klal Yisrael money for the Mishkan, and if they collect extra, then Moshe Rabbeinu will keep those extra funds. And if they don't collect extra, then Moshe Rabbeinu will have to give the difference. But that is obviously an asmachta, because he only entered into the deal on the assumption that he won't have to take money out of his pocket. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu held that is a fine kinyan. If that's what Moshe Rabbeinu held, then gambling becomes mutter. So he says, Kavyastus Haya, was Moshe Rabbeinu a gambler? Or perhaps he just didn't know how to count that he made this mistake. And therefore, even though he should have had, as we explained, 201 kikr, the Torah says he only had 100 kikr. Does that mean nosa machza, v'notel machza? He only gave half of what he should have. Or machza shalom ha'etz, and it isn't even half. Because as we said, there were 201 kikr and 11 mana, and the Torah only speaks about 100 kikr. Amaloi, to which he responded, Moshe Rabbeinu gizbe namen hayu. Moshe Rabbeinu was certainly a very honest person. Or baki b'chishbonis hayu. They saw a very beautiful verse from the Pnei Menachem. What pshatri was a baki b'chishbonis? Why is the Gemara using the same wording twice? So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu gizbe nema means that Moshe Rabbeinu was certainly a trustworthy accountant. Baki b'chishbonis means much, not just a cheshbon math. Baki means a cheshbon hanefesh. The Moshe Rabbeinu knew what was the status of Klal Yisrael's Yerushalayim. What was the status of the Cheshbon HaNefesh? And therefore, when he came down from Har Sinai and he saw that Klal Yisrael had done the Aveira of the Eagle, he knew that the Yerushalayim, he made a Cheshbon HaNefesh, and he knew that the Yerushalayim was weak. And that's why he broke, in fact, he broke the luchas. Just umanash so kaidesh kafahayah. Everything is doubled. So when the pasuk speaks about 100 kikr used, everything in the base of Midrash is doubled. To put it into a concept that we can understand, we know that a dollar has 100 pennies. The dollar of hegdish had 200 pennies. So the kikr was also doubled. So what takes for us 200 kikr in the base of Midrash was 100 kikr. Hava by Ravachi. So ask Ravachi, Micah Koshalei, why is the big question that we have to come up with this teretz, which is interesting teretz, that changes the numbers, why don't we say that when the pasuk says that there was 100 kikr, v'hi masa kikr kesev latzekes, there were 100 kikr were used for the sakets. Hanech Latzekes, Vinech Begozo. Why is the pasuk such a difficult pasuk? All the pasuk is saying is they used 100 kikr for the sakets. That doesn't mean that there was only 100 kikr. Answers the Gemara, that isn't the pasuk that caused them to ask. Ksiv Kra Achrina, there's a different pasuk that caused them to ask. Because the pasuk says, the Kesep Kudei Eda Mas Kikr. The pasuk says that there were in total only 100 kikr. And the way we learned, there weren't 100 kikr. The cheshbon is that there were 201 kikr. ask the Gemara. So that's why we answered. That's why the Gemara answered that the Kikush shel Hekdesh kaful hayu. Said the Gemara, the Kamalei Mona shel Kedesh kaful hayu. So now that he said that the Mona of Kedesh is double Menolei, for as the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, it's a very nice teretz. But you can't just say a teretz because you have a kasha. You have to say a teretz because it's the truth. Where do we indeed see that the pasuk seems to indicate that the Mona shel Kedesh kaful hayu? Ilema, if we're going to say minei from the pasuk itself, shrekan, if we count what there was, we'll see there was shivim ve'echad mana. There was shivim ve'echad mana, because the pasuk says that the silver left over from the 100 kikar, the pasuk says, was 1,775 shekalim. The pasuk describes it, as I just said, those 1,775 leftover shekalim were used to make the hooks. So the pasuk describes them in single units of 1,775 shekalim. Vim Isa, if we're saying that the calculation, the measurement used in the Beis HaMikdash is the same measurement used by us, why does the Torah call it 1775 shekalim? May ve'echad kikar v'achas asr mona, by the way. 1775 shekalim. If 1,500 shekalim, as we said at the beginning of this piece, a Gemara, equals a kikar, so instead of the Gemara saying there were 1,775 shekalim left over, the Torah should have said there were 101 kikar and 11 mana, because because 275 shekel above the of the 1,775. That means 1,500 of that 1,775 would have been a kikar, and the 275 divided by 25, because each mana we said is 25 shekel, is 11. Why does the Torah describe it as 1775 shekel? The fact that the Torah speaks about it in the terms of shekalim, because it wasn't a kikar. Because a kikar in the Beis HaMikdash isn't 1,500. A kikar in the Beis HaMikdash is 3,000. We only have 1775. And explained the Rishonim, Tosfos says it, to describe it as a mana, we never find that the Torah speaks about a mana itself. So isn't this the fact that the Torah says there were 100 mana and 1775 shekalim, instead 100 kikar and 1775 shekalim, instead of saying there were 101 kikar, is because it wasn't 101 kikar, because the kikar in the Beis HaMikdash is not 1,500 shekel, it's 3,000 shekel. Says Mar, that isn't a compelling proof. They want to use round numbers, and therefore, even though it could have been described as 101 kikar and 11 mana, the Torah doesn't want to speak about 101. The Torah wants to speak about 100. Says the Gemara al-Mahakta, derives from the following pasuk. The pasuk says, "Nechayshes atnufa shivim kikar." The copper was shivim kikar v'apayim v'abamei shekel, and 2,400 shekalim. Shrei kan, what do we have here? Tishim v'shish shemona, 2,400 shekalim divided by 25 equal 96 mona. V'loy mona ha'kosav el v'pratrit. The Torah speaks about shekalim. Why doesn't the Torah speak about a kikar? The Torah, if 1,500 shekel equal a kikar, then the Torah should have said that, instead of saying, the Torah should have said a 71 kikar, that this is 71 kikar and 900 shekalim. That means, instead of saying 70 kikar and 2,400 shekalim, it should have been said 71 kikar and 91 shekalim. Now, and as Rishonim explained, in the previous Torahs, we said we want to use the number 100. But here we're not using the number 100. We're using the number 70. So instead of saying 70 plus 2,400 shekel, we should have said 71 plus 900 shekel. The reason the Torah didn't do it, it seems, is because the Torah knows that because 2,400 shekel isn't a kikar. Because 1,500 shekel isn't a kikar, you have to get to 3,000 shekel, and 2,400 is less. Says the Gemara again, it isn't a compelling proof. The Torah wants to use round numbers, 70, not the number 71. The pasuk says, "Vashekel esrim geira esrim shkolim chamisha veesrim shkolim esrim shkolim chamisha veesrim shkolim asar vechamisha shekel amana yilachem." The Torah says that the mana is made up of 60 shkolim. 20, 25, and 15, equaling 60. Now we know, as we said at the beginning of this piece of Gemara, that it's not 60, it's 25 shekel that make up the mana. The Mefarshim, of course, all ask, if the Pasuk was to teach us that it was 60, why is it broken down into 20, 25, and 15? Why wasn't it just said straight 60? So one teretz is that was the way it was made up. They took a 20 piece, as I said at the beginning, it was made up of actual gold or silver. They took a piece that weighed 20, and they took a piece of 25 and a piece of 15, and they put them all together. Another pshat, they say, the Rishonim say, is that these different denominations were used for different purposes. And a third time, the Tosfos suggests, is because it corresponds to the amount of letters there are in the different psukim of Birkas Kohanim. One pasuk has 20 words, 20 letters, 25 letters, and 15 letters. But our question comes back. We've been learning that the mana equals 60 shekel, and here it seems to say that it equals 25 shekel, and here the pasuk clearly indicates that it equals 60. Von Masva Abenhaver, doesn't a mana have 240 dinar, which is a mana has 100 dinar, and here we're saying it has 240 dinar, 125 times 4, as says the Gemara. Number one, we have to say that in the Kodesh it wasn't 25, it's 50. And then furthermore, they sometimes change the value of the money. But even if they change the value, they only go up by a sixth. But that sixth, says the Gemara, is an external sixth. So let's figure it out. The regular mana, as we said, is 25 shekel. Everything in the Beis HaMikdash, the double, is 50. And then, sometimes, they wanted to change the value of the currency, but they never do it more than a sixth. But when we want to figure out that sixth, not the way we would normally do math, is they look at the result and then see if it's a sixth. So, if we take 60, that's the number that will be the final number. The final number is 60, 10 is a sixth of 60, because we look at the number that we're going to add milbar externally after we've done the addition, and 10 is what they added. 50 plus 10 equals 60, because 10 is a sixth of the final result being 60. Why don't they add more than a shtus? So the Farshim explained, because we know throughout the halacha that the shear of a null, the shear that you're allowed to profit, and it's considered that you didn't overcharge, is up to a sixth. So let's say there'll be somebody coming from another town that doesn't know that there was a change of the value of the money. So if he won't charge, if there'll only be a valuation change of a sixth, he will not end up having lost or earned more than he should have. But if there will be a devaluation of more than a sixth, it could turn out that he ends up earning or more than he should have. This Fasemis also goes into a discussion if
when the Gemara says here that they changed and they made it bigger, they made it from 25 to 50, and then they added a shtus to that 50, is that only in terms that they're allowed to raise it, but they're not allowed to devalue, go lower? Or in halacha, is it also acceptable to go in the other direction as well? Continue the Gemara. Arab Chanaimah. Shalti as Rabbi Lozen Bebei Moshe Rabba. I asked Rabbi Lozen the Yeshiva. Manishtana Pikri Chamorim Pikri Susum Gemalim. Why do we only find that from all non-kosher animals is there a din of Petah Chamor? Omeli, so he answered to me, Xeris Akosafi. But as the Mashar points out in Rashi, this definition of Xeris Akosaf isn't the regular explanation of Xeris Akosaf. Rather, as Rashi seems to say in Chumash, Xeris Akosaf is because the Bechayre Mitzrayim are compared to Chamorim. And just like we do so many things, the Mepharshim explains it, and Sof explains, to commemorate Yetzias Mitzrayim, one of the things where we do is that we do Petach Amor that reminds us of what happened to the Bechayri Mitzrayim. And he even goes deeper. The Bechayri Mitzrayim we know died, and that's why Halacha is Varaftoi, that we should kill the Bechor Petach Amor. But they also were the vehicle through which we ultimately left Mitzrayim. And therefore, since because of them, we had the Nes of Yetzias Mitzrayim, they're given the opportunity not to necessarily be killed, but they could be redeemed as well. Void, furthermore, he said, Shisai Yisrael B'Shas Yetzias Mitzrayim. They were the ones that helped Klal Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim. Shein L'chal Kol Echav Echav Yisrael, every Jew in Klal Yisrael, Shlahayim Ma'tisha Chamurim Liban, they all, each one of them had 90 Libyan donkeys, Te'unin Mekashpav Zomis Mitzrayim, in which they carried out the silver and gold from Mitzrayim. And therefore, because they were so helpful for us when we left Mitzrayim, they are deserving of this, they are deserving to be rewarded that there's a mitzvah Petach Amor. And as the Mepharshim explained, the Beis Halevi says a very powerful verse. It's not that they were thanking them for helping us. He says it's because they were a vehicle for us doing the mitzvah that the Pasuk says that we were supposed to take out of Mitzrayim Kesev is off. Others, however, explain that our Gemara indeed is teaching us the importance of Akaros HaToyv. These Chamorim helped us, and since these Chamorim helped us, it is our obligation to show them Hakaras HaToyv, and the Mitzvah Petach Amor is how we show them Hakaras HaToyv. And actually, Mepharshim go on to explain, because it's hard to say that animals have a din v'cheshbin, that we count what they did or they didn't, that what they did, they get reward or punishment. But pshat is that animals, like everybody else, even animals, we must show our Karas HaToyv. We spoke about this when we learned Masechta Chulin. That's why there's a din of Kisui Hadam. Because the bird came, when Cain killed Hevel, the bird came and covered Hevel's blood. And that's why when we shech the bird, we do Kisui Hadam on the bird. And the Chaya, the Medrash has a fascinating Medrash. Medrash says that when Rivka saw Yitzchak, she fell off the camel and her psulim broke. And Yitzchak was concerned about Rivka's virginity. But when she fell, an animal, a chaya, came and watched that blood, that it should stay there, that Yitzchak should be able to see that that's indeed what happened. So again, for Hakaras HaToyv to the Chaya, we do Kisui Adam and Chaya. Rav Chalter, furthermore, he asked him, my Lashon Rafidim. The Torah says the Kleistel came to Rafidim, and that's when Amalek attacked them. So the Mepharshim say, what's the Gemara's Kasha? So the Beis Halevi explains that the Torah uses, the Pasuk already said they were in Rafidim. Why must the Torah repeat that they were in Rafidim? The Ben Yayad explains that usually a place is called Lashon Yachid. Here it's called Lashon Rabim Rafidim. Normally Rafidim Shema. His answer was there was Rafidim. Ketanoi, but he says it actually represents a Machlokes Tanoi. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rafidim Shema, Yeshu Omer, Shuripa Atzma Medivei Torah. They were weak in their learning. The Kenu Omer, Lahifna Abbas Abanim and Rifin Yadayim. And as the Mefarshim explained, even though we find that there are Midrashim that say that Amalek came because they weren't Shomer Shabbos, or they weren't honest, but it all comes from not being strong in Torah. When a person is not strong in learning, all these other things ultimately happen. The Yad Shalti Ma'alosh and Shittim, that's where they had the Aveiru, the Benoi Smaiv. Vamli Shittim Shema, the name of the place was Shmitim. Again, said the Mar, this actually represents Tanoi. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Shittim Shema, the name of the place was Shittim. Shuama, she's asking with the Rishtus. Doing an Aveiru is obviously a Shtus, as the Pasuk goes on, the Gemara goes on to say. The Pasuk says there, with the Aveiru, the Benoi Smaiv, the Tikru La'om, Lezifcha Eloheyem, Avlaza Omer, Arumas Pagibahem, they all came without clothing to get them to do an Aveira. Yeshua Mishnasa Kulam Bali Karian, again, to get them to do that Aveira. Says the Mishnah Parashi Yoldim in Chamor. You have a cow that gives birth to an animal that looks like a donkey. Or Chamor Shiyoldim in Tzus, a donkey has an offspring that looks like a horse. In both of these cases, Peturim and Rabuchaira, Shinemar, Petach Amor, Shnei Pomen. The Torah says the word Petach Amor twice. Atchei Avlad, Hayoyelot Chamor, Vayivnoyelot Chamor. The mother and the child have to be a full-fledged donkey. Ask the Mishnah Mayim Bechila, what is the halacha if an animal doesn't resemble its mother regarding its may be eaten or not? Says the Mishnah, Behemoth Torah Sheldekim and Behemoth Tameya. If a kosher animal has an offspring that looks like a non-kosher animal, it's mutar b'chila. On the other hand, tamei shiyoda k'min behemah taira, a non-kosher animal that has offspring that looks like a kosher animal, os b'chila. For the Mishnah says, sheyotz min atamei tamei, anything born from a non-kosher animal is non-kosher, sheyotz min atar, anything born from a kosher animal is considered kosher. Tanan hosam, says the Gemara, we learned later in Amasek to the Mishnah. Rocha Shiyoldim in Eis. A sheep has an animal that looks like a goat. Or Eis Shiyoldim in Rochel. A goat has an animal that looks like a sheep. In both of these situations, Peturim and Mechaira. The Mieshba Mitzvah Simonim, but if it has some resemblance, Chayiv, it's Chayiv Bechayiv, but like we're going to learn, it's not brought on the Mizbeach, but it's given to the Kayiv. Ask the Gemara Menon Mili, how do we know this halacha? Answers the Gemara on Rabbi Yehuda, Damakra, Ach B'char Shar, Shehu Shar B'char Shar. The mother and the baby have to look like a cow. B'char Kesef, Shehu Kesef B'char Kesef. They both have to look like a sheep. B'char Eis, Shehu Eis B'char Eis. That they have to look both like a goat. Yochal Afil Yesh Bois Mixes Amonim, that even if it looks a little like its mother, it's exempt. Tamaloymer ach cholik. The Torah adds the word ach, that if it has some resemblance, there is a chiyu b'chayv. Ask the Gemara, v'haytana, but haven't we just learned in our Mishnah that we notice halacha from a different pasuk? Our Mishnah says, peta peta kanasu leleparo. The Torah says the fact that the Torah says the word peta chamor twice is the way we know ach shihei avlad chamor, v'anoyrot chamor. So why are you saying we learn it from this pasuk? Haven't we learned it from that pasuk? Answers the Gemara, Hudam Kavyasa Glili. Rabbi Yehuda, that was just quoted in this brisa, holds like Rabbi Yosef Glili. The Tanya of Yosef Glili, Omer, Ach B'chah Shar B'chah Kesef, Ach B'chah Shar, to teach us Achei Hu Shar B'chah Shar. B'chah Kesef, Achei Hu Kesef B'chah Yer Kesef. Oy B'chah Reis, Achei Hu Reis B'chah Reis. Yofel Yesh Be Mitzvah Simonim, even if it's only a little similar, the same din applies, that it doesn't have a din of Bechar, Tamalem Acholot, that if it does look a little similar, then it does have the din of Bechar. So we have two different sources how we know that if the animal doesn't look like its mother, it doesn't have a din of Bechar, and if it's somewhat similar, it does, either from the fact that the Torah says Petach Amor twice, or from this pasuk of Ach Bechar Shor. Ask the Gemara, what is the basis of their machlokes? But Michael Mefgi,
answers the Gemara, Tanya D'don, the Tanya of our Mishnah says, Gol Rachman B'Kedushas Domin. Petach Hamor only has in it Kedushas Domin. And the Torah taught us that this halacha applies by something that has Kedushas Domin. V'Huadin, and if it applies by Petach Hamor that only has Kedushas Domin, certainly so will be the halacha by all B'Chayrim that have that higher level Kedusha, Kedushas Agos. Rav Yossi Sover, Rav Yossi on the other hand holds, Gol Rachman B'Kedushas Agos. He says we learn it from Kedushas Domin, Kedushas Aguf, as the Rishonim explain. According to our Tana, we learn Kedushas Aguf from Kedushas Domin through a Kal V'Chomer. According to him, there is no Kal V'Chomer from Kedushas Aguf to Kedushas Domin, it's learned through a Mamet Sina. Ask the Gemara, but our Tana that's learned this halacha from Ach B'Chor Shor, Hai B'Chor B'Chor my Avalei, the Torah that says that Al-Tana, that learns it from Petach Hamor twice, what does he do with that pasuk? Answers the Gemara, B'chor Shor, B'chor Kesef. Answers the Gemara, B'bar Leil Chav Yosef Reb Chanina. Don't Reb Yosef Reb Chanina. Lom Menemer Emur B'chor Shor. What does the Torah have to say specifically that the Emurim of a B'chor Shor are put on the Mizbeach? Emurim B'chor Kesef, that the Emurim of a sheep B'chor is put on the Mizbeach? Emurim B'chor Eis. What does the Torah have to say by every type of Bechor separately that the Emurim are burnt on the Mizbeach? Says the Gemara of Yosef Chanina answers. Tzricha. Because Rechman Bechor Shor, had the Torah only said it by a Shor, Shekein Nesavim Nesachim. We know that with every carbon, the Nesachim are also brought. And the Shor, being the largest animal, has the largest amount of Nesachim, as we learned in the Sechta Nachas. Kesef. The Kesef, we would have said, has the Chiv of Emurim. The tail of the kesev is also burnt on the mizbeach. Beis shekenes rabba etzel ayverdes kachavim biyachid. If a individual, Rechman Tzlan, worshipped avodah zarah b'shagig, he has to bring a carbon that only could come from a female goat. So that's why each one of these animals has unique attributes, and we can't learn the halacha of one from the other. Says the Gemara, Chad Mechadalasi. Indeed, each animal has its own specific attribute, and therefore we can't learn the halach of one animal from another animal. But still ask the Gemara, maybe it should have been enough that the Torah should have said only two of the animals, and we could have learned the third animal from those two that were stated. Why did the Torah have to say all three? Taisi asked the Gemara, Chad Metarti. Ask the Rabbi Chai Lichtev, which do you want that the Torah should omit? Loi Lichtev, Rechman B'Shor, do you want to suggest that the Torah should not have written that the Emrim of a B'chor Shor are burned? The Teis Mahanach, Ma'al Hanach, they have a Chumash Shekein Esrabah Eifu Pesachim. You could bring a carbon Pesach from a sheep or a goat, you can't bring a carbon Pesach from a Shor. Loi Lichtev B'Kesev, should the Torah not have written Kesev, the Teis Mahanach, which learned by Loch of the Emrim of the Bechor of a Kesef from an Eiz and a Shor, Malahanach, Shekein Esrabu, Eitzel Averes Kechavim B'Tzibur. When the community, Rachman Tzlan, worships Avodah Zarah B'Shagig, based on a incorrect decision of Bezdin, they bring a Shor as an Oilo and an Eiz as a Chattas. But a kesef, a sheep, is not brought. Should we say that the Torah should have omitted A's? The taste of Mahanach when Kalund Allah of A's from Shor and Kesef. Each one of these, by each one of these animals, there's something extra that the Mizbeach receives. The Shor, as we said, does the extra Nesachim. The Kesef, as we said, has the tail. Hilkach, that's why all are tzrichi. Rav Yossi Aglili, Rav Yossi, who uses these psukim to teach us the halacha of an animal whose offspring doesn't look like its mother, how will he know these halachas of Emrim? Rav Yossi Aglili, imkein lichto kra ach b'chor shor kesev eiz b'chor lomeli. Why does the Torah have to say the word b'chor separately? El lashma mina achei hu shor b'chor shor. In other words, he says, if all the Torah wanted to do with this pasuk was to teach us the halacha of the emrin of the bchor and the shor of the shor and the kesef of the eighth, then the Torah would not have had to write the word bchor separately each time, because we are in the parasha of the bchor. So the fact that the Torah mentioned each animal separately is how we know about each one of these animals the emrim are brought. And then the fact that the Torah also separately mentioned the word bechor by each one is how we know the halacha that we're discussing in our sugya, what the din is if the offspring of the animal does or doesn't, or to what degree, look like its mother.